Chapter 1. Being and Not Being. The Tao Te Ching could rightly be called the Chinese Bible. The author carries the same signature as all the great teachers of humankind. Many legends surround Lao Tzu, but they have no historical foundation, so we do not want to repeat them here. The whole question of whether Lao Tzu even existed is shrouded in mist. There are those who deny his existence, and there are those who assert it with equal vehemence. So it is just the same as with Buddha, Jesus the Lord, and Hermes Trismegistus. But we do not have to dwell on all this because we need only remind ourselves of the words of Silesius. Though Christ 1,000 times in Bethlehem be born, and not within yourself, you will yet be forlorn. The important thing is that we possess the Tao Te Ching, and it bears the signature of the Universal Brotherhood and its doctrine revealed to humankind with incomparable love. The entity responsible for revealing this ray of love did not want to vaunt himself in any way. He lost himself in the impersonal. He came and he went. His kingdom was not of this world. 600 years before Christ, the word descended into China, and afterwards, the bringer of that word withdrew across the borders. He crossed the borders of the world of dialectics and returned to the one fatherland. We can take it that this holy language has been mutilated only slightly or not at all. This is because very few people have been able to understand the Tao Te Ching, owing to the fact that it was written in Chinese characters. It was written in a compact, very veiled way and consists of only 81 verses or aphorisms. These aphorisms are divided into two sections, the Tao and the Te. We would like to describe Tao as the path of liberation and Te as the benefit and the results of the path of liberation, while the word Ching indicates that the Tao and the Te together comprise the method of liberation. We will not be giving a literal translation of the Tao Te Ching, we are not Chinese scholars, but a paraphrase. Incidentally, it has to be said that hardly any Chinese scholars are in agreement about the translation of either the title or the text. We will more or less be following Henri Borel's translation, for there are reasons why we consider this translation the most reliable. The Tao Te Ching has not been known in Europe for very long, 1.5 centuries or so at the most. The first European translation appeared in French in 1823, and since then, many books have been written about it. And now we too are going to write about the Tao Te Ching. The reason lies in the fact that a new, mighty Taoist brotherhood is rising in the East. It is a brotherhood, a school with the same signature and aims as ours, a brotherhood that, like us, consecrated its temple in December 1951, and that, like us, has taken its place in the Chain of Seven. And in the time which has now dawned, it will be natural for all participants in that sevenfold chain of the brotherhood to grow towards each other. East and West, North and South will meet each other as newly awakened children of God, who will need to recognize each other, not only in signature, but also in inner language. That is why you need to know and taste Tao and all other wisdom teachings so that you can live, speak, and act from their synthesis, freeing yourself of your own particular national characteristics in order to become a true world citizen of the universal people of God. So what we have to say here should serve, among other things, as a preparation for contact between all those who will be gathered together from the corners of the earth. This preparation is a task that needs to be fulfilled, and we would like to offer you our heartfelt invitation to join us in it. Join us in bringing this task to a good end. There have never been many people who understood Tao. The greatest nonsense has been written about it. So are we to be counted among those who say they do understand and, full of self-confidence, tell you we can easily explain its profound meaning? No, we want to offer our efforts in the deepest humility, mindful of the last verse of the Chinese Bible. Those who know Tao are not learned. Those who are learned do not know Tao, verse 81. If only the soul is receptive to the new life, we will certainly understand. The first chapter of the Tao Te Ching reads as follows. The Tao that can be spoken is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. As not being, it can be described as the foundation of all that exists. As being, it is the mother of all things. Therefore, if the heart constantly is not, that is, if it is free of all earthly aspirations and desires, one can behold the mystery of Tao's spiritual essence, if the heart constantly is. That is, if it is full of desires and earthly aspirations, one can only behold limited, finite forms. Both being and not being spring from the same source, but differ in their goals and effects. Both are full of mystery, and this mystery is the gate unto life. The first chapter of the Tao Te Ching delineates the main characteristics of the universal doctrine, which have always been the same. The original foundation of all things Lao Tzu calls Tao. This word could also be translated simply as our word God, or, as John does, by the term the Word. In the beginning was the Word, to which everything must return. So it is a stream, a current, the way. This word, this Tao, cannot be spoken. It cannot be perfectly described by any mortal. At most, it can be hinted at or approximated. No man has ever seen God, says John, echoing the words of Lao Tzu. If Tao could be spoken in full, intellectually or philosophically expounded, it would not be the eternal Tao. Something can only be expressed fully in words if it lies within the limits of this world of duality. This statement alone is sufficient to show quite clearly the limitations of the earthly human being. No one has ever seen God, not one single mortal is capable of seeing him. Only the Son who is in the heart of the Father can make him known, and he does so by manifesting him from within his own being. Who is this Son? This Son is a historical figure and at the same time an actual living reality. The primordial atom is the Son in embryonic form, and he has been revealed in many, not only in the past, but also in the living present. The Son is always the one who awakens the primordial atom, the rose, the divine seed. Such a one will meet God. He will approach the gnosis, just as the gnosis, Tao, will approach him. If you are a pupil of the spiritual school of the Golden Rosicross, you will know the key to this mystery of sanctification. 2,500 years ago, Lao Tzu had already placed it in the hands of humankind. If the heart constantly is not, that is, if it is free of all earthly aspirations and desires, one can behold the mystery of Tao's spiritual essence. Hasn't the spiritual school often told you that if you open your heart sanctuary to the radiation power of the new life, you will be touched by the spiritual essence? The heart must exist in the state of not being. If it is in the state of being, it will be filled with 1,001 worries, desires, and concerns of ordinary nature. Just as the mind is constantly being agitated by thoughts, so the heart is filled to bursting point with all kinds of feelings and desires. Thinking, willing, feeling, and desiring together form one of the sides of the earthly light triangle. And who among us can say he has entered total silence in that respect? Who has entered the stillness of not being, of not doing? All the turmoil of existence in the world of antitheses and our incessant preoccupation with mental activity on that level impede the functioning of the primordial atom. Only by entering the stillness of not doing, only by withdrawing from dialectics, can one clear a path through the desert of this life. The stillness is the precursor of Tao's spiritual essence, just as John is the precursor of Jesus. Through stillness, the primordial atom is awakened from its sleep of aeons. What is the aim of that awakening? Well, it concerns the new, the original life. Lao Tzu calls it, the path leads to not being and to being. Not being is the foundation of all that exists. Being is the mother of all things. Not being does not mean not existing or non-being in the sense of a total absence of being. It is the absolute original state, the original immortal glory. It is a new being in the original state of the immovable kingdom. Being as we know it is the being of death, suffering, and tears. That kind of being cannot arise from Tao. That is why there is also an original being, arising from the same source of the absolute, as true not being. Lao Tzu gave this message to humankind several thousand years ago, and it sounds very familiar because it is still being proclaimed today. From Tao, from the Gnosis, there arises a source, a fount, from which not being and being arise, an eternal, irresistible power, in the midst of which the immovable kingdom stands like a rock. And the heart that has entered the stillness experiences the pulsation of Tao's spiritual essence. Such a heart forms the mystery of the gate unto life,